And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO's Metal Marathon, the Metal March, is back once again. And that means brand new metal merch. Go to kboo.fm/metal to check out all KBOO's new metal merch featuring exclusive artwork provided by local artist and musician at Unicron Artworks. This year's Metal Marathon is live on KBOO Friday, March 14th at 8 p.m. through Saturday, March 15th at 6 a.m. Get your very own limited edition 2025 Metal March metal merch and listen to every installment of the Metal Marathon at kboo.fm/metal and support metal on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and the nonprofit Oregon Potters Association, presenting its annual event, the Ceramic Showcase, with the Gathering of the Guilds, April 25th through 27th at the Oregon Convention Center. More info available at ceramicshowcase.com.
Hi, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph.
I am Tyson.
Join us every other Thursday at 10 a.m. as we discuss exciting destinations around the world. But not always from personal experience, but never without cultural awareness and a passion for travel.
As the sun set over Buenos Aires, a lone tango musician played his bandoneon on a San Telmo street corner. A woman, lost in thought, walked by, her heels clicking on the cobblestones. Suddenly she stopped, turned, and smiled. The musician's eyes locked onto hers, and together they swayed to the music, as if the city itself was dancing.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Joseph, and I'm with...
Hey, it's Tyson. You may have heard of me.
Yep, we have heard of you, Tyson. And when I say we, I mean I.
Okay.
I'm speaking for the audience, but I don't know if the audience has actually heard of you.
Okay, well, that's all right.
Unless they've listened to this show before, then they probably heard of you, or if they're a friend of yours.
Yeah, if you're new to Life Stamps, I like to talk about travel and stuff, and so does Joseph.
Yeah, so welcome to Life Stamps, stories from here and there, and today we are talking about...
Today, I want to do ourselves a little itinerary of going through the city of Buenos Aires, Argentina, South America, pretty exciting city. I can give you a little rundown right now. The city itself covers about 78 square miles from the Rio Plata River with 48 different barrios or neighborhoods. And then so the metro population is over 13 million people.
And that was me whistling.
Yeah, that's a lot of people, right? What is that, like 13 Portlands?
13, how many people again?
13 million.
13 million. It depends on how you count the population of Portland.
10 Portlands.
If it's just the city of Portland, then... Oh, but that's the metro area, you said, for Buenos Aires?
Yep.
Yeah, I would probably say that's about like 6 Portlands.
Yeah. So, and then 48 neighborhoods. We're not covering them all today. Mm-hmm. We're just going to talk about some of the more important ones. Some of them, you know, could be a little dodgy as well.
48 neighborhoods?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, 48 different barrios within Buenos Aires. So,
is that a word? Because barrio in different countries can mean different things. So is that what they call a neighborhood in just a regular neighborhood in Buenos Aires?
From how I understood it, yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to say you're bouncing through different barrios of like doing, a city trip in Buenos Aires. The way I gathered it, you might not need as much time as you would say like in the Big Apple, New York.
Okay.
Or whatever. Because I always tell people if it's your first time in New York, you probably at least want a week, explore Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, those different neighborhoods within Brooklyn, the different neighborhoods, whatever, Bronx or whatever, you're probably only...
That makes sense because I think New York is probably twice the size of Buenos Aires. So.
I think so. So,
yeah. So there's, twice the amount of time you got to spend there.
Yeah. So, I would say I'm going to do this kind of itinerary sort of going through some different neighborhoods here and stuff. But I think, honestly, from the way it looks to me, the metro system seems to be quite good there. Mm. You probably only need about 4 or 5 days to really go and see a lot of the different sites and things in the different neighborhoods of Buenos Aires. So I think it's probably pretty good.
Well, let's talk about geography. So can you paint a picture of where Buenos Aires is in just like in the greater like South America context and then also Argentina?
Well, we all know Argentina is south of Brazil, which is massive, is almost as big as the United States. I don't remember what latitude northern Argentina lies in because it does connect to Iguazu Falls up there.
Where Iguazu?
Iguazu Falls.
Iguazu, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Niagara Falls of South America, more massive and impressive, actually.
Wow.
If you've ever seen pictures of it, it's just this huge river convergence of like Amazonian rainforest to southern Brazil meets Paraguay meets Argentina there, and all three countries meet in the northern border. But then that being said, Argentina, goes all the way down to the Tierra del Fuego, Antarctica, very long country, just like Chile. And so Buenos Aires is a fairly temperate place. I want to say it's probably maybe 35 degrees southern latitude, if that sounds accurate. I'm not entirely sure. I want to say it's probably more comparable to like the temperature of LA.
Yeah.
Or something year round, because of where it's located. It's not way up in the north where it's like in the tropics.
Is it a kind of like a dry climate like LA, or is it more humid?
Much more humid.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because it sits on the Rio Plata, like I just mentioned and stuff. So, you know, the river has always been a very important part of Buenos Aires and the commerce and stuff, you know, from European colonialism, Spanish colonialism, and there's a huge immigrant population too. So that's what actually makes it kind of a bit of a South American melting pot in terms of other like South American mega cities, you know. Obviously, Rio and Sao have that presence as well. I think Santiago, Chile also kind of has that bit of like presence of different immigration, European immigration through over the centuries.
I've heard Buenos Aires is has been referred to as the Paris of South America.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how accurate that would be. I can't really compare that, but I think that people will definitely say that because it's very got this European sort of bourgeois leftover stamp in the city and everything, you know. There are very certain things that are very, very Buenos Airean or Argentinian about Buenos Aires, you know. Tango, for example, is quite important. The cafes culture is very important there as well in Buenos Aires and stuff. And then, well, I'll talk about some of that when we go through neighborhoods. Some other tips is they say when you're before planning a trip to Buenos Aires is try to exchange cash on what is called the blue dollar.
Oh, there's different rates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been reading about this too.
Yeah, so apparently at the airport there'll be what's called the federal rate of exchange on like a USD to an Argentinian peso. But if you go to like local banks, I think they offer what is called the blue dollar rate. And that's a better exchange rate, essentially. Okay. So it's kind of like hold on to your money, you know, until you get into the city. And then
is it
look
like
for the blue dollar rate
withdrawing from ATMs, or is it like you do you have to bring actual USD and exchange like actual cash?
Well, it depends on how you want to work. There's a lot of markets and stuff that you'll go to, probably want to go to within Buenos Aires, and obviously those places won't be like hooked up to a credit card machine. Obviously in the tourist sector, a lot of places will take cards.
I mean, just in terms of like getting like Argentinian pesos, is it better to bring cash into the country, or can you just withdraw from an ATM?
Well, that's like
for it to get that blue dollar exchange rate.
And that's where you got to check with your credit card company or your bank and see if it will exchange at the blue dollar rate. Because if it will not, then cash is more advisable, so you can get the blue dollar rate.
I see.
If you can get your debit card and your credit card to exchange at the blue dollar rate, then you probably don't have to do anything.
Right.
So it just depends on your card and what it allows.
So I'm guessing cash is maybe more important to have when you're in Argentina.
It can be. Well, it's a sure bet. So let's just say, like, if you're not sure if your card's going to exchange, then I probably would at least, like, you know, bring a starter of, like, you know, 400 or 500 USD, and then periodically exchange that at a blue dollar rate establishment.
What is the like the cost of just basic things? You know, when you're traveling there, like the cost of a meal, cost of like breakfast, lunch, dinner, transport, all of that.
So I am not sure. The transport I do know is quite cheap. I think generally speaking, you should be able to go through many sectors of the city for comparable to about 80 cents.
Okay.
And I think a day pass could be something like $1.50 or something like this.
Okay, so pretty affordable.
And hotel costs, you know, like average hotels, not like super bougie ones or whatever, can run about $20-$35 a night. So that's not really, you know, we're talking like kind of like B&Bs and hostels and other things of this nature. You mid-grade should only be about $20-$35 a night, so you shouldn't be spending too much there. I think the food may be a bit more expensive than, say, comparatively to like Mexico or something like this. I think you might be spending about maybe $8 on a lunch and maybe 12 on a dinner or something like this. And, you know, I think shopping is also more affordable there for, you know, people when they want to shop and get clothes and stuff like that.
Okay.
So yeah, that's kind of the price breakdown and everything. One other thing, in public squares, just like it is in Europe, but with a little more chaos, you know, just watch your public your belongings and stuff, you know, don't keep your passport in your back pocket.
Right.
And, you know, try to keep things in your front pockets and don't flash your phone around too much in big public squares, because they do have people that ride around on scooters that try to snatch stuff.
Okay, so just like basic safety precautions.
But the city itself is not too bad crime-wise, unless you're in like some sketchy barrios.
Yeah, I've been reading it's fairly safe, especially like in the central areas.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'm going to go through about like 9 neighborhoods.
Okay.
On kind of like what could be like a good recommended itinerary that one would take, you know, post arriving at the airport.
Okay.
And then, you know, touchdown in Buenos Aires.
Is there a Metrolink to the airport?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a metro in the city. I don't think it has a ton of lines, but there are like buses everywhere.
It's always super convenient when there's a train link to the airport.
City. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't like to like just get on this random bus that takes me through 4 neighborhoods just to get to the center.
Right. And then it's like, if you're not familiar, then you don't really know where to get off. And, you know, some places, like I've ridden some buses that don't have like the typical like press a button to stop. You know, you have to like just tell your driver where you're going. So
right.
It can be a little, it's definitely a nice convenience to have.
When you fly into Oaxaca, your only option is either taxi or colectivo.
And
that's crazy. So then everybody just loads up in a white van and the guy just kind of announces your hotel in Spanish and you're just hoping he's talking about you. And you know, I had to translate a little bit for some of these Asian travelers when I arrived there. Which was funny. But anyways, so post touchdown we're going to go to San Telmo. We're starting in San Telmo. It's considered probably one of the most bohemian barrios. It's filled with cafes, cobblestone streets. This is like your very bohemian historical. Yeah, if you were saying like Buenos Aires is the Paris of South America, this could be your like kind of Montparnasse in terms of the artistic significance of the city. You know, some of the first tango artists, it started here. You know, it's got some of the oldest cafes and stuff, you know. It's also north of the La Boca neighborhood, which is where the football team plays.
Okay.
The Bocas Juniors, which is like, you know, they have 2 rivaling football clubs within Buenos Aires. So it's that's a little bit of etiquette also while traveling to Buenos Aires. You know, if you're going to rep any football gear, be prepared for the conflicting, you know, local rival fan base and stuff like that, you know, because I think the other one is just a Real Argentina or something. But
is it like they're both like they inhabit different sides of the city?
Well, that, and it's also almost like a national pride thing too. You know, you're either a Bocas fan or you're the other team or whatever and stuff, you know. And but yeah, so La Boca is very like, you know, where like people go for the games and stuff, and you know, and that's all west of Puerto Madero, which is along the river. That's kind of like the bougie area along the river and stuff.
I see.
So we're not going to start there. We're going to end in Puerto Madero because that's kind of, you know, the good bougie neighborhood to kind of relax and end your holiday in Buenos Aires.
Okay. But,
so we'll start in San Telmo, like I said, and this is where good neighborhood to start, get a walking tour, you know, learn all the old BA history and stuff of the local artists. Every Sunday in San Telmo there's a fair of tour of antiques and local artists and stuff, so local artists come here and stuff. It's got the famous Plaza del Rego, and this is where Argentina gained its independence in the year 1816.
Okay.
And then there's also what they got that's called a Cartoon Passage within San Telmo, and this is where you can see statues of Argentinian comic book characters from
Passage.
Yeah, it's called Cartoon Passage, and all those famous like comic book characters from Argentinian comics are actual statuettes within the walkway, the hallway, the sala.
I see.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a very I don't know, like, you know, like major cities all seem to have this really, like, you know, heart of the city, kind of old world cultural neighborhood. San Telmo's going to be that neighborhood. And this is the best neighborhood recommended for going to a tango dinner.
A
tango dinner is not...
This is in San Telmo.
Yeah. So, and
what is a tango dinner?
A tango dinner is literally how you imagine it, like a flamenco show in Spain, similarly, mm-hmm. except for it's tango music, which is slower.
Okay.
And, but you'll have dinner and drinks, and then...
There's a stage, and then you're there watching it?
Dinner theater.
Okay, dinner theater.
Yeah, dinner theater type of thing, but it's always a tango show.
I see.
So they just call it tango dinner and stuff. So then, you know, you may want to stay in San Telmo, but it's not the cheapest part of the city because of the, you know, the historical significance and stuff.
It's a very hot neighborhood.
Yeah, hot? Well,
like a lot of people want to be there, so the price is, it's more expensive.
Right.
To stay in.
So if I was going to make this reference to New York again, this would be, what's that lower Manhattan neighborhood?
Like Soho?
No, Greenwich Village.
Greenwich? Okay.
This would be like Greenwich Village.
Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, not one of the cheaper places to stay in Manhattan.
Right.
You know, but very definitely worth a visit and stuff. So. That may be something to consider.
Okay.
And then going north of there, there's the famous Recoleta neighborhood.
Okay.
And this is a lot more of like an upscale barrio with exuberant culture and lots of green spaces. So this is your more like kind of laid back but expensive boutique shopping kind of neighborhood with lots of green spaces and lots of parks.
Mm.
So if you're trying to detach from the city and still kind of have that, like, you know, very safe and kind of modern aesthetics type of stuff, and ride your bike and do exercise and all this stuff with the green spaces and the parks. Recoleta is kind of the best neighborhood of the city for the parks.
I see.
And stuff. They have like these Parisian townhomes, boutique shops, cafes. They got what's worth a visit even if you don't stay in Recoleta. Actually, two things are worth a visit in Recoleta. One is the famous Altaneo Grand Bookstore. And what that is, it's they've refurbished an old historic Argentinian theater and turned it into a bookstore. So
cool.
Okay, and
does it have the marquee still?
Yeah, it's got like it's got the promenades of like an old historical Argentinian theater, ballet theater kind of thing, but where the levels are actually the bookstore, and then the stage is a cafe.
That's so interesting.
So you can buy your books, and then you just kind of go on the stage of the theater, and they have the cafe.
That's so cool.
So you can read your new books and just kind of hang out and stuff. I mean, it's massive. I think it's like a 6-story theater.
This sounds way cooler. I was going to say, this reminds me of, there's a Japanese bookstore in downtown Portland that's also in an old theater.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But it's nothing like what you just described. Like, it's just like, it just looks like a bookstore inside, but there's like a marquee outside.
Right.
It's near Director Park.
Yeah, no, this is very much from refurbished old Grand Teatro.
Like, that sounds so, like, I think this maybe was just an old movie theater or something, but yeah, that sounds so cool. That's like your cafe is on the stage, like. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, so that's like definitely worth a visit in Recoleta. Also, Recoleta's got what's the Recoleta Cemetery.
I was going to ask about that.
And this has some of the oldest crypts of the city. Anybody that's ever traveled to New Orleans, so like the Garden District, where you have all those crypts that are, just above ground because of the river plate is close to Recoleta, so they can't really bury underground. So a lot of important Argentinian figures are in their crypts in the Recoleta Cemetery. So it's very much just to see some really beautiful masonry work and wander through the cemetery.
That's so interesting.
And see all that stuff within Recoleta. It's always
interesting when a cemetery is a tourist attraction.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
You know, there's like, I mean, it's like we have some nice cemeteries. You know, there's that one cemetery in Portland that's like on 20th and Southeast. That's like,
yeah,
also kind of historical for like Portland standards. But it's not like, I wouldn't suggested as like a tourist attraction versus like going to Boston, for example, and there's like that cemetery.
I might recommend it as a tourist attraction in the near future if they finish their next project, because their next project is to actually put a lot of awareness to Asian Americans and reclaim a lot of like lost identification of Asian Americans that made their way out west to help build the railroads and stuff. And so the city is donating money to work on this preservation project.
Oh, cool.
And if they do that and complete that, then I would recommend that, because I think it would be an important thing for visitors to learn about that part of Oregon history.
That's super cool and very important for sure. I guess I mean in the sense of like when you just do a Google search, like if I just do a Google search for like things in Buenos Aires, the cemetery comes up.
Right.
Versus like, you know, that doesn't come up, you know, for like, you know, even though that's like, yes, that's a definitely like, we know as locals that's an important cemetery and obviously like something to show people who are visiting.
Right.
But it's not like, it doesn't come up on like a list of attractions.
Not for Portland, for visiting Portland. Sure.
Yeah,
definitely not.
You know, versus like the cemetery in like Boston, have where like all the like important like founding fathers and people were buried and stuff, like that's like, you know, a place that you go to,
which is kind of
in Boston,
which is kind of sad honestly, because I feel like every city could have that historical importance about their cemeteries,
right?
But you know, unfortunately there's only a few cities that we know of here in the United States where they put that kind of importance and significance on the cemetery.
Right.
Okay,
so cool. So the Recoleta to cemetery, great place to go for masonry. And then
one more important thing before we move on from Recoleta. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's a lot of beautiful parks and green spaces. I can't remember the name of the park, but it's like the most famous. I think the cemetery is part of the big park. You could kind of call it like the Central Park of Buenos Aires or something. Mm-hmm. They have the Recoleta Cultural Center that's also sits in the center of that park. So that's quite important, you know, just to, it's basically a cultural center and a museum. So any factoids, tidbits you want to learn about Argentinian history, they should have that information for you inside that cultural center.
Okay, right on.
So that's what's cool about Recoleta, essentially. It's kind of your preservational.
Mm-hmm.
Your preservation barrio, if
cool.
we will.
Okay, right on.
And then, you know, this is a place for the younger travelers. They may want to stay here. This is a Palermo Soho.
Okay.
And Palermo Soho is considered...
Palermo Soho?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Soho like Soho in New York? Like, is it an abbreviation or is it totally...
Now, that's a good question. So they kind of consider Palermo to be this huge barrio that's actually broken up into three pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a Palermo Soho, there's a Palermo Hollywood, and then there's Palermo something else. But I'm not going to talk about the third one because it didn't have a lot of important information for traveling or whatever. More kind of just a neighborhood that's part of the bigger Palermo neighborhood.
Okay. So it might be a nod to like New York Soho in terms of like being a cool neighborhood.
It's quite possible that it was named as a nod. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually sure. I didn't find that out, or I didn't really think about it.
Well, especially if you're saying there's one that's like a Palermo Hollywood, you know, like these are very like iconic American places.
Right. So... starting with Palermo Soho, this is considered the best nightlife neighborhood with tons of restaurants, dive bars, cafes, clustered around the famous Plaza Serrano.
Mm.
So it's pretty much like, all right, I'm going to go to Palermo Soho for my first time. You're just looking for Plaza Serrano, and it's all going to be right there, you know? And it's like, this is like...
What's the significance of Plaza Serrano? Was it just a central plaza?
It's the central plaza that's, the artery of all the dive bars, the restaurants, the cafes.
I see.
You know, the lounges and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, Buenos Aires, they're very much taking on Latin tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner is kind of common at about 9, 10 p.m.
Okay.
Club life starts at about midnight, 1 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not uncommon that people are going to leave the club at sunrise.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, just something to consider. You know, you may want to try to get onto that program, you know, after you've kind of acclimated and adjusted there and stuff,
totally.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Or however. But then again, you know, I don't think it wouldn't be a bad school of thought to try to take dinner in Palermo, Soho at 8 p.m. because you'll probably beat all the rush, you know, because the Argentinians aren't going to typically try to go out to eat till about 9 or 10. Wow. But so Soho, Palermo Soho is very much kind of like very much a pre-game neighborhood because there actually isn't a lot of clubs in Palermo Soho. It's just the dive bars, the restaurants, the cafes, and just kind of like the pre-starter of, you know, maybe a wild night in Buenos Aires kind of thing or whatever, you know. So it wouldn't be the quietest neighborhood for an older couple.
It's more for young people to go to.
Yeah, but you know, if you don't want to take the bus to do all that hopping around and stuff, this is the neighborhood for the young kids.
I see. And I did just look it up. So yeah, I want to clarify the Soho part does reference Soho District in New York.
Okay.
Because of the upscale trendy vibe. So
right.
It was intentional about like naming it after that.
Yeah, okay. And then, you know, and then just down the way from there, you know, for day exploring, if you were staying in Palermo Soho, it is Palermo Hollywood, which is, as you could assume, is like
more of a theater district or?
No, it's home to all the broadcast studios.
Broadcast studios, okay.
And everything within Buenos Aires. So this is where you've got most of the broadcasts and most of the film studios.
I guess they can't call it Bollywood because, you know, Bollywood's already taken.
Right. And, you know, I don't follow Argentinian films, but I imagine they have paparazzi there. And I imagine that's your better chance of probably seeing some famous Argentinian actresses and actors and stuff as well, you know. So it's, you know, but this is where a lot of the nightclubs are, you know. So, like I said, Soho is kind of the pregame place. And then, you know, to get extravagant and just see maybe, you know, do a little like, you know, star chasing or whatever and dance club stuff, you're going to actually go to Hollywood.
Wow.
Palermo Hollywood.
Soho and Hollywood all in the same district.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, you know. So that's kind of these are the neighborhoods that definitely encapsulate, you know, Buenos Aires nightlife for sure.
Okay,
you know.
Cool.
Yeah. And also, it's good to go to Hollywood during the daytime because it's so connected to the film industry there. That's where they have some of the best street art.
Okay.
And, you know, just murals around the neighborhood of Hollywood, Palermo Hollywood, because, you know, they just have such a pop culture importance about Palermo Hollywood.
Great place to go for street art and stuff. Just one second. So if you're tuning in right now, this is 90.7 mine is blinking. 90.7 KBOO FM Portland, and you're listening to Life Stamp, stories from here and there. And today we are talking about Buenos Aires, just doing a deep dive into the different neighborhoods of the city, the significance about them, why you should go there, and you know, just different vibes around the city. So we just covered the Palermo neighborhood, which has or district, or right? Is it? Would you consider it a district or a neighborhood?
I would call it a barrio.
So a barrio, but then it has these different sub neighborhoods in it, like the Palermo Soho, which is more trendy and artistic, and then there's Palermo Hollywood, which is more about broadcast film and all of that. So yeah. So what's next on the agenda? Where are we going next?
Next, we're going to go to a neighborhood called Belgrano, and these next neighborhoods are a little smaller but worth a visit. And I'll kind of rush you through them and stuff, you know, and to give you a quick breakdown. Further northern barrio with a river museum,
okay,
a shopping district. But the most the reason why you would go here, this is almost kind of like a day trip in the city because it's a further north barrio. But they have a Chinatown.
Okay.
In Belgrano, so a lot of people are like, all right, I'm going to go to Belgrano to check out the
Chinatown,
and then check out that museum on the river and stuff, you know, the little shopping district. People don't typically stay here unless they want to be a little more remote and in a quieter place. But
so it's not quite like as central as some of these other neighborhoods?
Not quite as central, no, but people do make their way up there because they want to try like the authentic Chinese food and stuff, you know, so it's just kind of a food exploration day trip kind of spot to go to Belgrano.
Is there still currently like
it's kind of becoming an up and coming thing, you know, like how people were moving to the Bronx for a while there and trying to make the Bronx cool and boost its tourism in New York and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could kind of maybe associate Belgrano a little in that way,
okay,
where it's probably got its history, but it's like also kind of, hipsterizing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there like a lot of Chinese immigrants in Buenos Aires?
Yeah, there is. So I don't know the history about that entirely, but essentially there's like some form of Asian. I want to say there's more Asian Americans in Buenos Aires than any other South American city.
Asian Americans?
I mean, did I say Asian Americans? Sorry, I messed that up.
Okay. But
more Asian immigrants.
I see.
Than any other South American city. Yeah, not Asian Americans.
Okay.
Asian South Americans, perhaps.
Right.
If they use that term.
Asian Argentinians, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. But so anyways, more Asian immigration than I think than even
than
like
other cities, like Santiago or
Rio. Paulo, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think there's quite a bit and uh-huh. stuff, but I don't know the importance of like the immigration
totally.
Of why so many, but there's a lot
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And so, yeah, so Chinatown's very important. And,
okay.
But it's not called Chinatown. It's the neighborhood of Belgrano.
Got it.
And then more of like a kind of like this is, I think, a good neighborhood for somebody probably in their 30s or 40s. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it's called a Villa Crespo.
Okay.
Villa Crespo. This is like the most neighborhoodly feeling barrio, close to the highlights of the Palermo barrios. So this is pretty much, you got Palermo, which is kind of well go along the river, but inland a little bit. And then further west, the next neighborhood west of the whole Palermo mm-hmm. thing will be Villa Crespo.
I see.
There they got like delis and Five and Dimes and leather shops. And they got more like local dance studios and stuff to learn tango and movement. Culture and stuff. So this is like more if you just kind of want to, you know, live like an Argentinian or like, you know, a Porteño is what they commonly refer to themselves as because of the port city and the river in Buenos Aires. If you want to live more kind of like a local Porteño while you're traveling there, I recommend Villa Crespo.
Okay.
And stuff, you know, because you'll have your neighborhood deli, your neighborhood cafe, and just some of your, you know, community center things that you can partake in while you're in that neighborhood and stuff, and you can still explore,
mm-hmm.
you know, so quieter and stuff, you know.
Okay, cool.
And then, of course, you know, no visit to any city is left without its skyline and its major, you know, financial theater district.
Uh-huh.
And that would be Micro Central Downtown. You know, so this is definitely going to be your Times Square,
mm-hmm.
Broadway-esque version of New York, smaller, condensed within Buenos Aires
mm-hmm.
and stuff, you know. So, yeah, it's very similar to mid and lower Manhattan, in my opinion.
Okay.
From the here you've got the famous, you know, monuments like the Presidential Palace,
mm-hmm.
the Obelisk, which many have probably seen, you know, it's just a tall pointed spire.
Tall building.
Yeah.
Tall thing.
Yeah, tall mm-hmm. thing. It looks like a rocket.
Okay.
The Congressional Plaza and the cathedrals are just massive, you know, here in Micro Central.
I see.
Micro Central. And this is also like, you know, maybe where you'd want to splurge a little bit more money on like, you know, a Porteño theater or play because they've got the Grand Teatros.
Okay, so this is like the Broadway kind of...
Yeah.
Of Buenos Aires.
More or less. Yeah. And then you got the rooftop lounges and the boutique mm-hmm. hotels. So, you know, you want to have a nice cocktail and take in the skyline and
mm-hmm.
just be very central and just watch all the hustle and bustle and stuff, you know. And so I'm kind of recommending this to do towards the end of your holiday. But that's the kind of traveler I am. Some mm-hmm. people may want to just thrust right into this and then go out to quieter places. I'm more of the opposite. I like to take in the all the noise and chaos after I've got a good footing and feel for the city.
I see.
But okay. That's why I'm taking us this direction.
Yeah, totally.
Essentially. And then, okay. And of course, then you'll have all the nice shopping malls and stuff like that too. So if you want to do some last shop, like, you know, shopping and stuff
mm-hmm.
before leaving Buenos Aires. And then, you know, you probably want to have a night or maybe two just enjoying a good sunset. And that's where it leads us to Puerto Madero, you know. And this is where you actually catch your ferries to go to Uruguay and stuff. So this is like the
Puerto Madero. Okay.
Yeah. So Puerto Madero's kind of got all the nice fancy boutique restaurants, the promenade and stuff along the water, the ferry station and stuff. But and another thing that's pretty cool about this neighborhood, not just like, you know, just relaxing, enjoying the sun, eating some seafood and, you know, the hotels and stuff, and the ferries to Montevideo is here they have like an ecological reserve, you know, that they preserved along the riverbanks and stuff, you know, so you can probably see some wild cranes and some birds and some other things in that ecological reserve in Puerto Madero. And that's kind of like your, you know, your final beso from Buenos Aires.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and then if you're... if your trip is taking you to Montevideo, then you could take that ferry, right? And we have a whole episode about Montevideo. So, you know, if you're planning your South America trip, you can listen to this one and then you can go back and listen to the Uruguay one. And,
yeah,
you know, then you'll have your whole trip planned out for you.
And you can decide which is better, the mate in Uruguay or the mate in Argentina.
Right. I don't want to, I know that you have some quiz questions you want to give, but I just wanted to make sure that we covered everything. I know we didn't really go into the food, but I know Argentina has a pretty great cuisine, very famous cuisine.
Right.
It's very meat focused, right? Very centered around beef.
Yeah, what do they call an Argentinian barbecue again? I want to say a parrilla.
A parrilla.
I think a parrilla is, or an asado parrilla, I think is like, it would be an open air where they're cooking meat on like wood fires and stuff and random markets and stuff, and then just you're buying lots of good Argentinian steak.
Yeah, some delicious stuff.
And yeah, there's a lot of common street foods, a lot of common pastries in these cafes and stuff. A very popular sandwich is called a choripan, which I think is steak and sausage.
Oh, yum.
Together, okay. Chorizo on a sandwich. You're not going to find a shortage of food.
Yeah.
You know, similar to Brazil, lots of good fruits and probably juice bars and things like this as well.
For sure.
So, yeah.
What about the water quality? Is it safe to drink the tap water in Buenos Aires?
I did read that it was, but then there's other areas where you have to double check.
Okay. So just to be safe, maybe just get filtered water or tap water, or bottled water when you can.
Yeah, kind of just, I would say, just if you're just staying within that city, pretty much just kind of ask different places that you check into and stuff, because it may
vary.
It may range within the city depending.
Also, sometimes it could be like the water system is fine, but then it's like the pipes need to be changed or something like that. So,
right.
You know, that there could be different factors. All right. Well, I think it's time for our quiz. Our quiz time.
Okay, well, Harvey, are you ready to take us away?
Okay, now let's move on to trivia and comments. Trivia time. Trivia time, hip hip hooray. Listener comments as well, handled the life stamps way. Today and every day.
Right. Thank you for that intro, Harvey.
Thanks, Harvey, as always, and taking us into trivia and comments.
Yeah. So, what have we got on the docket today?
I don't know. We're a little low on time, so I guess do we want to go to listener comments and then try to come in with trivia, or do you want to do it the other way around?
Maybe we can do let's do two listener comments, and we'll go to the trivia questions.
Okay. We'll do that. So I've got a question here from Donovan Paglucci from Sacramento. Donovan asks, "Hey, Tyson and Joseph, have either one of you hitchhiked while traveling? I keep hearing about other countries in the world and that it's a safe way to meet, to move around. Just curious, what are your thoughts?"
I've never hitchhiked, I think. No, I can't say like I've actually hitchhiked where I asked just for random rides from people.
Right.
What about you?
Yeah, and so in Bulgaria, they basically recommended it because they said they couldn't rely on their buses or trains and stuff. And so I had been like, hey, you know, if you're going to Plovdiv next, you know, like you could just hitchhike because we don't really know what goes on with our trains here. I mean, I did use buses and trains in Bulgaria, but
I'm sure in certain areas it makes, you know, or if it's like the service isn't good.
Certain areas and stuff, you know, and we're talking about Argentina today. And I've also heard in South America is very safe for hitchhiking and stuff, you know, and there's a lot of remote areas that people like to visit. And it's just like more of a cultural norm where, you know, people are nice and they like to pick people up and stuff like this. But I haven't gotten myself out of the American stigma of the serial killer, I think.
So when I was a kid, actually, I was riding with my parents and we picked up a hitchhiker. And it's like a very like this memory that I have where it's like, well, we just picked up these random people that were like, you know, backpacking and, you know, they had like their big traveling. It was like a couple and they were traveling together and they're just hitchhiking.
Okay.
In Oregon. And we just like drove them a couple miles and then dropped them off somewhere. So, yeah, it's interesting because I feel like when I was younger, I saw people hitchhiking more. Like I would see a lot of people, you know, with thumbs up on the side of the street. I don't really see that anymore.
Right.
I
do see it sometimes still like around gas stations. And that's what I actually recommend to foreigners, because a lot of Europeans, you know, they hitchhike and they're they're just used to it. And it's kind of normal, I've come to find out, especially with a lot of the Germans and stuff as well. What I am going to say in that regard, though, is that I always tell them, like, don't just stand along the side of the highway, because many Americans are afraid to pick up hitchhikers. Hang out at a gas station, like at the edge of town, where you can actually talk to people driving face to face and they don't just see you on the side of the road. Yeah. And you can build this trust factor, and then maybe perhaps they'll give you a ride to where you're trying to go.
Depending on like where in the country too, sometimes hitchhiking is illegal as well. So
right. So yeah, I guess my answer to you, Donovan, is just to read up on the safety protocols of the countries you're visiting and stuff. If you're considering that, you know, as a means of an adventure that you would like to have at some point, but not to just do it blindly, I think.
Totally.
Because, yeah, it could be illegal as well.
All right, so let's go on to number two.
Okay, so what do we have here? Here's an interesting one, I thought. It's kind of funny. Joseph and Tyson, why do Americans love peanut butter so much? As kids, we all grew up in Europe eating Nutella chocolate hazelnut spread. You may have heard of it. It seems everywhere I go in the world, they have Nutella and bread at shops, other than the United States, which is all peanut butter.
I can't tell you. I don't know why. It's just something that it's like, you know, you grow up with.
No real reason why we never took on the hazelnut craze. Breakfast spread.
It's not like Nutella is not available here. Like, it's definitely around.
I don't know. Can you find it like in Ohio and like, you know, the Midwest?
I think you can buy it at like, you know, Kroger supermarkets.
Yeah, probably.
You know, so I think you can buy, but it's not common, right? It's not like you just go into someone's house and they have Nutella,
right?
In that sense.
Like, I can just imagine you're having a country breakfast that, you know, like Gramps and Granny's house in Iowa or something. Like, do you want some toast, sweetie? And you're like, sure. Do you have Nutella? And then they're just immediately going to be like, ooh, or what are you? Are you like some kind of fancy European? What's this Nutella stuff?
Yeah.
We eat peanut butter.
I don't know if that would actually happen, but, you know, maybe it would.
Well, yeah, but it's not normal.
Yeah.
It is not part of our cultural norm.
I feel like there's probably some historical thing where it was like peanut butter became like widespread, easy, like, you know, a lot of things come out of like scarcity as well. And so I wonder if it's like coming from like a wartime thing.
You think it's a Great Depression thing?
Or a Great Depression thing where it's like, yeah, easy. Like a lot of, you know, it's something that's like, it's has protein and it's like easy to make in different ways. And I don't know.
Do we import or grow more hazelnuts? Because I know we live here in Oregon and, you know, everybody's like, you know, we are the land of the filbert.
Well, I know Oregon is like one of the top producers,
right,
of hazelnuts, like worldwide. So
worldwide, I think
we probably grow most of our hazelnuts.
Yeah. So see, I'm more inclined to agree with Claire here from Lyon, mm-hmm. France, that we should be, because we're importing the peanuts. Are we not?
I don't know. I don't know where peanuts are grown.
I feel like peanuts are predominantly African.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good question.
So if it's like, it would be cheaper if we have like a plethora of hazelnuts.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Well, I mean, hazelnut butter is more expensive too.
Right, right, yeah.
If you ever see that at the store.
Yeah, just like almond butter or cashew butter.
There's a lot more like options now for like nut butters.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to the trivia.
Okay, yeah, we've exhausted. We got a little nutty with that. So, let's see. What are some of the questions to see if Joseph was listening through our show today? How many barrios does Buenos Aires have?
Oh, It's in the 30, like 32?
No, nope.
Am I hot or cold?
Oh, I don't know. You're lukewarm.
Lukewarm?
Yeah.
Up or down?
Oh, my God. How many guesses do I have to give you every time we do trivia? Okay, up.
Up? 40.
You're still wrong. No point for you.
How many?
Moving on to the next question.
Wait, how many?
48.
48, okay.
Yeah.
I was getting closer.
People would just listen to me once in a while. I wouldn't get so agitated, but they never listen. Anyways.
You didn't tell me what I needed to listen to.
That's not the way trivia works.
You didn't say this is going to be on the test.
The way trivia works is you're supposed to, you know, be listening and then answer the questions.
I'm just saying it would be nice if you said it was going to be on the test.
No, that's not the way trivia works.
Okay.
All right. What is the name of the famous plaza where Argentina gained its independence from in 1816?
Oh, I remember you were talking about this.
Yeah.
It's not even on my list here.
Should I eat fish this morning?
Plaza de Mayo.
No, that's almost like 2 points deducted from you because you tried to cheat and you were still wrong. You were still wrong. You see what happens? You see what happens when you try to cheat the system.
Okay. So what is it?
Plaza Dorrego.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Had plaza in the name.
Yeah, you were right. There is a plaza. Which neighborhood can you see the oldest crypts of the city?
That's the...
Caracas, Venezuela.
No. Recoleta.
You got it. Whoa, yeah. He got his first point. Moving up in the world, what is the name of the famous bookstore inside an old theater?
Teatro Colón.
No,
I don't know.
It's the I can never pronounce it. El Ateneo Grand Bookstore.
Okay.
El Ateneo.
It's on my bucket list.
Now, which barrio has a Chinatown?
Oh, I'm not even going to try.
That was Belgrano to the north.
Belgrano, okay.
Cool. Okay. Now, which neighborhood has the most local feel for shopping and community centers?
Local feel?
Yep.
So this wouldn't be the Palermo?
No.
One? Okay.
You're close in terms of the city.
San Telmo?
Nope.
La Boca?
Nope.
El Centro?
Nope.
I don't know.
It's called Villa Crespo.
Villa Crespo, okay.
Villa Crespo is the one you go to for like the delis and the dance studios, you know, just to kind of get local Argentinian life and stuff, you know, within Buenos Aires.
Okay.
This one you should get. Where is the stadium for the famous Boca Juniors football club?
Well, I mean, it's in the question. La Boca.
Well, there you got it. You got 2 out of 7 questions correct today.
Wow.
I think you're getting smarter.
Stellar.
Yes, yes, yes. Acing this trivia thing today. So, I think, I do have another comment. Do you want me to read it?
I think we have time for one more. We have maybe like 5 minutes left.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. And this is kind of interesting because in 2 weeks we'll be actually talking about Morocco. But this is from Ista Ahmet,
mm-hmm.
from Rabat, Morocco. Hello, Tyson and Joseph from Morocco. Here we have a great market called the Old Market. It's a great pastime every weekend to find lots of different things. My question is this: before I visit the United States, which cities in your country have some of the best markets to see and buy various goods?
I mean, I can only speak to the markets that I've been to.
Right.
And there's some interesting ones.
Here in Portland, we got the night market, which, you know, is probably culturally much different than a Moroccan market with spices and herbs and things, but
yeah, Portland has a lot of good markets.
But we have a lot of local artisans that show up at the Portland night market.
It's very Portland in that way. It's a very like local makers and artisans. Yeah, and then there's the, I think, you know, if you like food, every city will have like farmers markets,
right?
And those are always interesting to check out to see like, you know, what are they growing locally. And there's usually like some food vendors where you can try some tasty food. And then yeah, like Saturday market, craft market.
I guess my advice to you, Ishtar, is I'm not sure what cities you're going to in the United States, but obviously read up on that. But a recommendation, if you're going to the West Coast and you're going to San Francisco, you got to go to Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah.
You're just loaded with seafood choices and stuff, you know. So if you like seafood, I think you'll definitely enjoy that. There's just tons of different things you can see. Chowder houses, which is like is like one of our famous in the United States, like seafood stew.
Yeah, and then there's in Seattle, there's the Pike Place Market, which is probably like one of the cooler, I don't know, it's one of my favorite markets in the U.S.
Yeah, where they throw the fish and everything. Yeah,
it's like lots of cool, you know, seafood, and then they have some artisans there and stuff, and that's, you know, every day. In L.A., there's a, I don't even know the name of it, but it was just this down this random street, and it was like just a little flea market that's like every day, but they sell like imported Mexican goods there.
Oh, okay.
And everything's like pretty cheap, so it's, you know, it's interesting.
Right.
And then also there's Grand Central, which is a big food market
in LA.
In LA, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I know there's like a big food market in Boston that I went to that I thought was pretty cool.
Interesting.
That's just like a big indoor. You can get like lobster rolls and like, you know, other stuff. And
oh, cool. I might go there this summer.
Yeah. I really wish I remember the name of the place. But it's like when you look for it, like if you look for like big food market in downtown Boston, it'll show up for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It's funny. There's not like anything I can think of in reference to New Orleans. New Orleans has got to have like a major market somewhere,
but yeah,
like I just, it's not like
also there's like seasonal festivals and like different things like that, so you gotta, you know, you can see like what's happening while you're visiting.
Yeah. I will say for Latin food, Pilsen neighborhood of Chicago, that's a good one.
Okay.
Like there's always like kind of like ongoing like little tiendas and taquerias and stuff, kind of like the Mission District of San Francisco as well. It's like Pilsen's like that, you know, with really good bakeries and stuff, you know, so it's kind of like a market going through that neighborhood.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we are out of time. So this has been Life Stamp, Stories from Here and There on 90.7 FM KBOO Portland. And I just want to thank you all for listening. And yeah, if you just started tuning in recently, didn't catch the whole episode, you can find us on Spotify. We'll be up. This episode will be up on Sunday.
Sunday night.
Like if it's Thursday today, it'll be up in a couple of days. So yeah, you can find us on Spotify at Life Stamps. But with that being said, thank you all for listening.
Yeah, Harvey, why don't you close us out?
You have been listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time, happy traveling.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound like a broken record, but you are listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Listen sponsored. Now, become a member now. Become a member now.